wonderful morning, I shall hear Gabriel's trumpet sound.
When I wake up
to sleep no more, rising to meet my blessed Redeemer, with a glad shout I'll leave the ground.
When I wake up
to sleep no more,
when I wake up,
some glad morning,
sleep no more,
jewels adorning,
happy I'll be,
over in glory,
in heaven's bright shore,
telling the story. With the redeemed of all the ages, praising the one whom I adore.
When I wake up
to sleep no more. Glory to God, I'll have a new body, change the twinkling of an eye.
When I wake up
to sleep no more. Leaving behind all trouble and sorrow, bound for that city up on high.
When I wake up
to sleep no more.
When I wake up,
some glad morning,
sleep no more,
jewels adorning,
happy I'll be,
over in glory, in
heaven's bright shore,
telling the story. Praising the one whom I adore.
When I wake up
to sleep no more.
I shall behold the beauties of heaven and the redeemed of every race.
When I wake up,
when I wake up to sleep no more.
Trees beside the still water, I shall then find my resting place.
When I wake up,
when I wake up to sleep no more.
When I wake up,
some glad morning,
sleep no more,
jewels adorning,
happy I'll be,
over in glory, telling the story. With the redeemed of all the ages, praising the one whom I adore.
When I wake up
to sleep no more.
When I wake up,
when I wake up
to sleep no more.
To sleep no more.
Man, you ought to seen those veins popping out. You know, once you turn to one color shade of red, when you start going to purple, we got problems. Well, I tell you, I love music, don't you? The right kind of music. The music that honors the Lord. And I enjoyed that, guys. Thank you. And I'm looking forward to that day when I sleep no more. You know, I... And entering in September the 7th, I began my 25th year in the ministry. And 25th year in the ministry, 28th year of salvation. And boy, I tell you one thing, I reminisced a little bit this afternoon and how this week. And about 28 years of being saved, entering 25 years of the ministry. And many of you are like me. You've got a lot of mileage on you from serving God. But you know something? It's been worth it. And I think it's going to come to fruition just how much it was worth serving the Lord when we see Him face to face. And we get to be in His presence. And we get to be there with Him forever and ever and ever. And I got to thinking about this week, about the years of salvation, the years of ministry, and the mileage that I've put on me and the mileage that you have put on you. And, you know, sometimes we can get a little weary in the fight. Because we say, Preacher, well, I've been praying. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Well, so have I. But He hasn't come yet. And sometimes in the service of God, you can get a little weary. You can get a little battle-worn. You can get a little feeble. And I want to use tonight just some thoughts, if you'd allow me to tonight, and use the message tonight to try to encourage us not to grow weary and faint in the Lord's work. Would you join me in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9? Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Before you stand, let me just give you a quick background here. Paul writing here, and if you're new to Christianity, he's not writing to a specific church here called Galatia. Galatia was an area. He was addressing the churches of Galatia. It would be like addressing the churches of Arlington or the churches of the Metroplex. So when Paul is about to give his advice here, and as he's about to give his charge under the influence of the Holy Spirit, he understood the crowd that he was speaking to. You got to understand that most of the places the Apostle Paul went, they didn't welcome him with open arms. When he took the gospel there to him, many times he faced stiff opposition. He faced persecution, imprisonment. And he faced a lot of opposition, so a lot of the converts that he made in these different areas, he would leave them there, educate them, disciple them, train them, and then he would move on to another city, and he would leave them in that city to that local church to start minister there. Well, a lot of these Christians were persecuted for their faith. A lot of them were abused for their stand for Jesus Christ. Can I say today that here in 2012, that Jesus is probably and maybe less welcome today than He was even in the day of the Apostle Paul's time? You see, we think that everybody today wants to embrace the Lord and embrace His church and embrace the Bible and Christianity. But see, it's just as bad today as it was in Paul's day. The only difference is most of us are probably not going to be imprisoned for it or persecuted for it. Listen to me. Yet. Okay? Yet. So I want you to take your Bible. Would you join me in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9? Let's stand together. We're going to read two verses, verses 9 and 10. And then I'm going to read you a verse out of Proverbs chapter 24 tonight. And I want to preach to you on the subject, church, of battling weariness. And the character trait that I want to give you tonight is the character trait of endurance. The character trait of endurance. Are you there in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9? Paul writing here to these churches and these Christians. He said, let us not be weary in well-doing. He says, for in due season, and by the way, can I just interject there, that due season is when God decides. He said, in due season, not when I decide, when the Lord decides, He said, for in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. He says, as we therefore, or have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now I want you to notice what he says to these believers who had faced some opposition, who had faced some things, and maybe even some of them had grown weary and were right at the point of quitting, right at the point of sending the white flag up and saying, you know what, these people don't love God, they don't care, nobody appreciates what I'm doing. And he said, listen, Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap. And that last statement is what I want to focus on. If we faint not. Let me read you a verse out of Proverbs 24 and verse number 10. The scripture says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. He said, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Now folks, listen. If our country, if the cause of Christ has ever needed people to stand up and do what God has commissioned us to do, it's today in 2012. I don't know about you, but I thirst and hunger after revival. Do you? I thirst to see the altars filled with people coming and repenting of their sin and turning their life to Christ and surrendering to the will of God. 25 years of ministry, I got in on the tail end right at the very beginning in the early 80s. I got in on the tail end of revival in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. By the time I got saved and got in the ministry, revival was beginning to wane in this area. But I remember the conferences. I remember going where the buildings would be filled with 2,000 and 3,000 people and hundreds of Baptist pastors coming. And you know what? For one reason, that was to promote Jesus, to promote ministry, to promote evangelism, to promote reaching our area for Jesus Christ. Folks, can I say in 25 years, I begin to see the waning of revival. I begin to see the people of God begin to get weary in the work and get weary in the battle and drop by the wayside and faint. And I want to encourage you tonight not to quit the Lord. I want to encourage you tonight to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you tonight about battling weariness. Father, meet with us now in the short period that we have tonight. I pray that you'd help us to learn. I pray that you'd open our heart and our spirit to thee. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Webster's defines the word endurance as to support without yielding. But he also said it also means to support without breaking to force or pressure. Many of you have seen kids take a plastic ruler, and they'll take that plastic ruler and they'll bend that thing around like this, and you're going, you know why? Because you're expecting it to break, right? But because of the material that it's made out of, it endures the pressure. It endures and doesn't yield to breaking. Listen to me. The scripture commands us that we're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Listen, we're to bend but not break. We're to be able to handle the pressure and the adversity that comes our way. Well, Paul's words here to the churches of Galatia was for them not to be weary in well-doing and not to faint. This was a great challenge from a great man. Now let me ask you this. Do you think the Apostle Paul qualified to speak on this subject? Do you think that he met the qualifications that he could speak to these churches and said and tell them, be not weary in well-doing? For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Let me take you to a place in Scripture where I want to show you his resume. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I think the Apostle Paul knew a little bit about adversity and about endurance. 2 Corinthians chapter number 11, if you'll follow there in verse 24, Paul gives his resume to the Corinthians. He said, of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Now listen to me, folks. He was beaten 5 separate times. Listen, folks, most people didn't survive one. He survived 5 whippings at the hands of the Jews. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Now, if you don't understand what they did when they punished you and persecuted you with beating a rod, they would strip you naked. And they would lay you down, or they would tie you up, and they would beat you from the base of your neck all the way down, and even to the bottom of your feet, they would beat you with rods. And then they would beat you front side, back side, sideways. And he said, 3 times that happened to me while I was preaching the gospel. He said, once I was stoned. Now listen, folks, I don't think that he's recording this and telling the Corinthian church to say, once I was stoned. 3 times. I'll tell you what, I'm sorry, rascals, they beat me. I don't think he approached that. He said, you know what? 3 times they beat me. 5 times I was whipped. He said, once I was stoned. 3 times, he said, I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. He says, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He said, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. He said, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Now let me ask you this. Do you think the apostle met the criteria or qualified to speak to these people about enduring? Do you think he met the qualifications about saying, listen, don't faint. Don't be weary in well-doing. He said, I've survived 5 whippings, 3 beatings, a stoning. He said, I've been in the deep 3 times. He says, there's nobody here that has faced what I faced in life. And yet the apostle was communicating to them, don't faint. He faced weariness. He faced it every day of his life. But he says, don't give up. Don't loose up from the purpose for which God has called you. He said, don't reduce or exhaust the strength that God has given you. Don't be weary in well-doing. Well, so the truth being conveyed here, church, is not to quit doing right. What he's saying is, don't be disheartened. Don't be disheartened regardless of what the results are. Don't give in. Don't give up. Don't give out in serving God. He says, remember that you're serving the Lord for His glory, not for the praise of men. Listen, he said, keep serving God whether anybody recognizes you or not. Keep serving God whether any person pats you on the back or says, boy, you're doing a good job. Hey, keep praying whether the person you're praying for ever responds. Keep giving whether you ever see anything come back in return. Keep loving whether anyone ever returns your love. Keep going whether you ever see any results or not. Listen, keep doing right, living right, thinking right, regardless of what other people say. Listen, what he's saying is, don't be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You see, the thing about it is, we're not here to please men. We're here to please God. God is the one who will reward us. The thing about it is, folks, if what I'm doing is serving God for a pat on the back, I got my reward. If that's my motive, I got it. If my motive is a plaque I can put in my Sunday school class, that is your reward. Problem is, it's going to be burned up one day. That's the reason Jesus said not to lay up treasures on earth, where thieves can break through and steal. Rust doth corrupt and moths come and eat out whatever you've laid up here. He said, but we're to lay up treasures in heaven. That's what our goal is. You see, we're to keep serving regardless of what comes our way. Why would the Scriptures continue to encourage us not to faint if there would be no opposition? You see, God knew there was going to be opposition to our faith. God knew there was going to be opposition in our service. That's the reason He said, don't faint. Don't be weary in well-doing. He said, in due season you shall reap if you faint not. You know, I look out over our congregation and I can see a lot of people with a lot of spiritual miles on you. You've been serving God for 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years. Sometimes you feel like the old tread's getting a little thin, don't you? You think, man, you know what, preacher? My tires are a little bald on one side. You said, I got some threads showing on one side. You know what, preacher? I'm just flat out tired. Tired. You've served. You've given. You've worked. You've prayed. You've loved. Some of you have a fatigued look on your spirit tonight. I said, preacher, I'm just tired. Can I admonish you? Can I encourage you tonight? Be not weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Listen, yeah, you may have to bend here or there, but don't break. You see, you can't stop now. We're almost to the finish line. We can't stop now. We've come too far to stop what we're doing now. We've come too far to change our direction. We've come too far to change our motives and our message and our means of how we're going to reach the world for Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Remember I told you the Apostle Paul met the qualifications. He understood a little something about what it meant to endure hardships. Here's what he said at the end of his life. He says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Listen, he said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith." You know what? If you come visit me one day in the hospital and I'm on my deathbed, would you pray that God will give me these words to say, "I finished my course. I've kept the faith"? You see, the thing about it is the last thing that I want to do is go out having fainted in the battle, having become so weary because of certain situations or adversity. I don't want to die going out of this life being a quitter, having fainted in the fight. You see, if we faint, we'll faint in our will. We'll faint in our desires to fulfill God's call and God's purpose and God's plan in our life. You say, preacher, why do believers faint? How do they get weary and faint in the work of the Lord? Jot these three things down. This is the message, but I want you to jot these three things. I just jotted them down here that I think will help you. First of all, one of the reasons believers get weary and faint in the work is because of fatigue, physically and spiritually. Because of fatigue. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Don't turn there. Remember in Genesis chapter 25, remember Esau's been out and he comes in after hunting? And he comes in and Jacob's in there and he's sodding pottage. He's milling about the kitchen. Esau the hunter comes in and he says, "You know what?" He said, "I'm tired." Matter of fact, the Bible used the word faint. And in his moment of fatigue, in his moment of exhaustion, in his moment of physical and spiritual exhaustion, he says, "I'm hungry, give me something to eat." Jacob says, "I will, you give me that birthright." Now listen, that birthright belonged to Esau. But because of his fatigue, he gave away his birthright to Jacob for nothing but a bowl of pottage. He gave away the most valuable possession that he had. Listen now, in a moment of fatigue, in a moment that he was physically and spiritually weak, he made a decision that hurt him the rest of his life. You see, fainting normally results in bad decisions. Over 51 years of life, can I give you some advice? Don't ever make major decisions in your life when you're tired. Don't ever do it. Now listen, sometimes decisions in life are going to come and people are going to press you. And you know what I found out? When people press me in a time that I'm fatigued, I normally make stupid decisions because my brain's not working right. I'm tired. I'm fatigued. And listen to me. Look, don't ever make major decisions in life when you're fatigued, when you're tired. You see, the reason that people get fatigued physically and spiritually, and I'm just giving you some personal application because this has happened to me and I've had to recoup. Listen, you know how I got fatigued physically and spiritually? First of all, I jotted this down as I was thinking about this afternoon. I tried to do too much too fast. I tried to do too much too fast. Now the thing about it is, I want to win the world to Christ, don't you? But I can't do it before the sun comes up tomorrow morning. And listen, as a church, we want to see the world come to Christ. But listen, if we're not careful, we'll try to do too much in our lives too fast or try to go too far too quick. That's the reason we got to be wise in what we do. I see Ben Riley back here. Ben's running some marathons, or he's tried to anyway. And Scott Miller is another man in our church that runs in marathons. And I begin to think about a marathon runner. You know, a marathon runner, when he stands at that line, he's not... Listen, if you've ever been to a marathon, you ever seen Ben's been there. He knows what I'm talking about. They go on the morning track, boom, you got some guy, turn. They take off. And you know what Ben's thinking? I'll see you later, bud. Now listen. Marathon, if you're going to run a marathon, it requires endurance. It requires preparation. It requires training. You see, sometimes a servant of God, what happens is, in our lives, is it just may be that we have more outgo than we have income. You say, what do you mean, preacher? It may that we may have more service going out with less devotion coming in. And pretty soon what happens is the well runs dry. And so one day you drop the bucket down in the heart of your spirit being and it goes clank. Because there's nothing there. There's no water to draw out. Listen, folks, I told my Sunday school class this morning, we need to understand this. Christianity has always been designed to work from the inside out. It was never designed to work from the outside in. Now listen to me. That's a reason that when new people come, you got to understand, as a new believer, they're just learning all the things about Christianity. They don't know what to say. Many of them, they don't know what proper dress is. They don't know anything about that. So stop trying to work Christianity from the outside in on them. It's got to work from the inside out. It's the way it works. It's always worked that way. You see, what I'm saying is that you and I have got to be careful, because if our outgo exceeds our income, then our upkeep will become our downfall. And we'll spend the rest of our life doing nothing but trying to keep our head above water. I don't want you to raise your hand. I just want you to ask yourself that question tonight. Are some of you just got your head above water? You say, oh no, preacher, not me. Well, it sure looks like it. It looks like it on your face. It looks like that when you come to church and part of your Christianity, all you're doing is say, preacher, I'm just trying to tread water and keep my head above water. Listen to me. What is that, serving God? That's no fun. I get thrown in a lake and all I can do is tread water and keep my head above water. You know, all I'm going to be able to do, that's just for a short period of time. And then I'm going to go, bloop, bloop. I'm gone. I better get moving. George Whitfield said this. He said, Lord, I'm weary in thy work, but not weary of thy work. He said, I'm weary in thy work, but I am not weary of thy work. You see, the Apostle Paul wasn't saying that you're not going to get weary. He just said, don't faint when you get weary. He said, find the strength that you need. One of the reasons that people faint is because of physical and spiritual fatigue. Let me give you another one. Take your Bible, go to Hebrews 12. Go to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, I'm going to put this in common day vernacular. One of the reasons that people faint when God spanks them. You hear me? When you get a whooping. And the thing about it is God's never going to chastise you unless we need to be chastised. Many people get fatigued and they get weary and faint in the work when the chastisement of God comes upon their life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. He says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. He said, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Listen, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now listen, he says that when the Lord chastens and the Lord rebukes, he wouldn't have mentioned the word faint if there wasn't some that didn't do that did it. Some of them had fainted when they got chastised by the Lord. But he doesn't chastise out of anger. He chastises because the scripture said he loves you. He cares about you. But some fall by the wayside and they faint when the chastising of God comes upon their life. Listen, chastisement does not diminish God's love for you. Mamas, when you have to, and daddies, when you have to discipline your kid and you have to chastise them and chasten them, does it diminish your love for them? No. It doesn't diminish your love. It's something that has to be done to correct. Can I say that chastising and chastening does not mean that God wants you to stop serving Him? When God disciplines us, He's not saying, no, no, just go sit down and stop. I don't even want you serving me anymore. No. He's chastening us to perfect us in the work of the ministry. To perfect us in the work of service for God. Chastening does not change God's call on your life. You know, I think we've got a church filled with called people. But God gave you a good old-fashioned belt whooping one day because you and I needed one. And you know what we did? Fine. Right? Now listen, how many times, and you've seen this happen, mamas and daddies, you've had to chastise your child, and you thought, now listen, this is what you did. You instructed them, and this is the chastisement that you'll receive, and you had to spank them, or you had to chastise them in some way, and here's what they did. You saw them, they walked over in the seat, and they went. Now listen, if they do, you didn't get it done right. So you know what? In my home, I said, okay, time out. We got to start all over again. What? Yeah, we got to start all over. Because obviously, it didn't work. So we got to go all the way back to the very beginning. We start all over. Now listen, if you go through the process again, and they go over there and they go. Or get the table. I'm not hungry. You know what? Didn't work. So guess what we do? We start all over and go, oh, Daddy, no, not again. Yeah, three times. You see, sometimes with my kids, because they have my DNA in them, sometimes it took three and four times. But let me tell you something. After a while, when their will broke, you know what they were like? I love you, Daddy. You're the best daddy in the whole world. Yeah, that's what I'm after right there. That's what I'm after. You see, the thing about it is when God chastises us, He doesn't change His call on our life. I believe we have a church filled with people that God has called to do something either through this church or in the ministry because God chastised you one day. You just said, you know what? I ain't serving God. I'll come to church and I'm just going to sit. I'm not going to do anything. Well, you know what? That's a bad attitude Baptist right there. Let me tell you something else I believe that causes people to get weary and faint. The lack of visible fruit in their labor. The lack of visible fruit in their labor. Can I say this to you? Stop looking for results and start looking to rejoice the Lord and rejoice in the Lord because your name is written in the book. Do you know that's what the Bible commands us to do? Stop looking for results and start rejoicing that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That there's a God in heaven that would even trust you and I to do anything in the work of God. You see, what I'm saying tonight is simply this. Some people faint in the way because they don't see visible fruit of their labor. Hey, we're to labor, but it's God who gives the increase. Some's going to plant, some's going to water, but you don't give the increase, and I don't give the increase. The Lord gives the increase. You see, the marathon runner doesn't quit because he can't see the finish line. Man, if I knew I had to run 24 miles, you know what? I'd be in bad shape, folks. I'd be in bad shape. But you know, when they're standing at the line, you see, when Brother Riley's standing at the line, he's thinking, man, I got 24 miles to go. But man, I can't see the finish line. So you know what? Forget this. And listen, you mean to tell me he's going to throw away all that training, all that sweat, all that workout, and he's not even going to run because he can't see the finish line? That's what some of us, where some of us are. You say, man, I'm just tired. Yeah, you know what? Training is going to take something out of you. But folks, you've learned in your Christian life, haven't you? This is a marathon. This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. It's not a sprint. Now, wait a minute, Brother Riley. Even though you cannot see the finish line, you do know it's there, though, right? And you do know that if you've done it right, you're going to get across that finish line. But you know what he's got to do? He's got to pace himself. He cannot try to get there too fast. Remember the guy I told you that shot out? Bang! And he's gone. And Brother Riley's going. Remember the old story as a kid? Remember the hare and the tortoise? The rabbits go, man, he takes off and he's just having a good old time. He's running, making fun. You know what the old tortoise is doing? Kind of like Ben. Hey, it's hilarious. I was coming up Davis here the other morning. And I saw this woman out in front of me on the sidewalk, and I thought she was running. You know, I thought she was jogging. The closer I got, I noticed she wasn't. She was doing that, I don't know what they call it. But it was like she was running, but she was going. And I thought, man, you know, I can do that. If all I got to do is look like I'm running, I can do that. You know, it's no problem at all. Now, church, let me help you with three things real quick and I'm done. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to talk to you about three areas as a church that we need to endure. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Would you turn there? Jot these down. 1 Corinthians 15. You'll recognize this when you get there. I want to talk to you first of all about enduring in the service of God. Enduring in the service of God. You know, Thomas Edison said years ago, he said, success is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration. It means it's work. It means, you know what, it's not going to be handed to us. God is not going to hand us the Christian life. He says, now listen, I've laid the plan out, I've laid the purpose out, but you're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to work and labor in the work of God. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, Paul says, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in Him. You see that word vain? That means that your labor, if you're serving God, it's not going to return void. If you're doing something for God, it will produce fruit. The problem is you may not be able to see it. You may not be able to see the fruit. I'm not going to tell you who it was. I got a phone call the other day from a family that was a member of this church 20 years ago. Out of the clear blue, got a phone call. Picked up the phone. Hello? It was them. Couldn't believe it. They live in another state. They began to tell me about all the things that God had done in their life since they had left here years ago and moved away. They began to tell me about this and that and how God had blessed them here and given them this and how that they were serving in the church. And you know what? I was thinking, wow. Because as I thought, man, I don't ever remember them doing that here. But let me tell you something. What God is doing in people's lives, you and I may not be able to see that. And God is doing some miraculous things in the lives of these people. And yet the scripture says that we are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yes, we're going to get weary. Remember old Gideon in Judges chapter 8, after he had defeated the Midianites? Wasn't but 300 of them. And remember, they pursued the kings of Midian, and the scripture says they were faint yet pursuing. Faint yet pursuing. You say, were they tired? Yes, just like some of you are. But can I say, don't quit. They were tired, they were thirsty, they were hungry, but they kept pursuing. They kept going. They did not stop. Take your Bible, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let me show you a motivation to endurance here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul says, therefore seeing, are you there? 2 Corinthians 4. He says, therefore seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. Go down to verse number 16. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Did you notice in verse number 1, Paul says, you know, one of the reasons that we cannot faint, that we cannot stop, that we cannot quit, he says, because we have a ministry. And do you know when you have a ministry, people are depending on you in that ministry? People are depending on you to show up and be there and be ready. They're counting on you. Hey, listen to me, Christian school teachers. Can I say that there are kids and parents depending on you? They're depending on you to be prayed up. They're depending on you to be prepared. That's a ministry. Don't take it for granted. You say, but oh, there's so many things going on in Christian school. Yes, yes, I know that. But don't quit. People are depending on you. Some of you are in the juvenile ministry, the nursing home ministry, the bus ministry, a teaching ministry. Listen to me. Don't stop what you're doing. People are depending on you. Some of you bus workers, you go and you've knocked the door, knocked the door, knocked the door. You say, them kids never come. They tell me every week they're coming and never come. Let me tell you something. The day you don't go by will be the day they're ready to come. That's the reason people say, preacher, how many times you go by and knock on a door? I keep going until they tell me not to come back. I just keep going and keep going. You see, if you have a ministry, those of you in the juvenile ministry, those teenagers depend on you. Those of you in the nursing home ministry, their people depend on you. People in the bus ministry, people depend on you. If you're a teacher, a group leader, people depend on you. If you're in the nursery, people depend on you. If you're an usher, people depend on you. If you're a greeter, people depend on you. Listen, if you can sing in the choir or you sing special music, listen, people depend on you. Yes. So, preacher, I'm tired. I just ain't got time for the choir. Why not? You used to. Amen. Preacher, I ought to say amen myself. Hey, you used to be able to have time for the choir. I ain't trying to hurt anybody's feelings. I'm just telling you, listen, folks, we got to endure. We've got to endure in ministry. This ministry needs you. That choir needs you. This church needs you to be in your place. There's no reason our choir loft shouldn't be two-thirds full. And it used to be because some of you used to be in it. Amen. So what happened? You got weary. And you know what? You're on the borderline of fainting. You said, but preacher, I'm doing all these other things. I understand. But you know what? We need you in the choir. Amen. Don't quit the service of God. Endure hardness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. Say, preacher, but I've just got so many things going on and so many issues in my life. Well, let me tell you something. You ever read the story of Wilma Rudolph? You don't remember who Wilma Rudolph is? Wilma Rudolph won 3 gold medals in the 1960 Olympics as a track runner. What you may not know is Wilma Rudolph, for a third of her life, was crippled. She went to doctor after doctor, and the doctor says, no hope. There's no way we can cure you. But she had a mama that said, you know what? Then if you can't cure her, then I'm going to do everything I can to help her. One day she will walk again. Listen, and that mama worked with her and worked with her and made her walk, even though Wilma didn't want to walk. And listen to me, in 1960, she stood 3 times on the podium for the United States of America, and they put a gold medal around her as a track runner. Why? Endurance. Endurance. You see, yeah, it's going to take time. Yeah, it's going to take sacrifice. Yeah, your church needs you. It's important to be at your weekly ministry. You say, oh, preacher, it's not important to be at teacher's meeting. It's not important to be at leadership meeting. It's not important to be at bus meeting. Why not? It's not important to be at a soul winning meeting. Why not? It is. It's important to be there. People are depending on you. Listen, how can God justify revival if we'll not endure in service? How can God justify sending revival to Trinity Baptist or Arlington, Texas or the Dallas-Fort Worth area if we're not willing to endure in the service of God? Let me give you the second thing. We need to endure in evangelism. We need to endure in evangelism. Remember in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus told his disciples, go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Can I say this to you? Folks, if we quit, if we stop winning souls, Trinity Baptist Church will be no different than the average Baptist church on the street corner. No different. You know what? I don't know about you, but I'm not into mediocrity. Are you? I'm not into just letting the world die and go to hell. It's just because I decided, you know what? I'm too busy. Let me tell you something, my friend. Thank God somebody wasn't too busy to come knock on my door 28 years ago. And they kept knocking, and they kept knocking, and they kept knocking. Even though I ran them off, they came back anyway. You know why? Because somebody felt that it was important to endure. You see, the thing about it is I don't give a flip whether you're a paid staff member or a non-paid staff member or you're just a person in the pew. We must not quit in endurance in our soul-winning efforts. We must not. We must stay after winning souls. Hey, soul-winning must be the heartbeat of our church. Everybody should be participating regardless of who you are. Whether you're a paid staff member, a staff member's wife, a volunteer staff member, a volunteer staff member's wife, it doesn't matter who you are, our church ought to be participating and enduring in soul winning and reaching people for Jesus Christ. What if someone would have decided the day that you got saved, decided, you know what? Well, I put in a hard day's work. I don't think I'm going to go out tonight. Don't think I'm going to go tonight. I don't think I'm going to pass a track out to anybody tonight. Let me tell you something, folks. It doesn't take a whole lot of effort to pass a track out to somebody or leave a track somewhere. You say, what are you talking about? I'm saying we've got to endure. We must not give in to the pressures. We must stay how God's built our church. And let me tell you something. You see this facility right here? You know who sacrificed so that we could have this? Soul-winning people did. Soul-winning people did. You know who gave the monies to build these facilities? Soul-winning people did. Amen? They did. People who loved God and people who believed in reaching people for Christ. We must endure in evangelism. Well, let me give you one more. Go back, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Go back to Hebrews 12 right quick. Hebrews 12 and verse 1. Let me say thirdly, not only church must we endure in service, not only must we endure in evangelism and soul winning, but listen, we must endure in striving against sin. We must not give in to the flesh. We must not give in to sin. Listen to what the scripture says. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You say, consider what? Consider the Lord. Consider what the Lord has done for us. Remember in Proverbs 24, verse number 16, I spoke to you just a moment ago. I gave you that scripture verse in Proverbs 24, 10 is what it was. The scripture says, if we faint in the day of adversity, our strength was small. That means we were weak. We had not had the proper preparation, the proper training. Brother Riley, I wonder how many people, when you've run in a marathon, how many people you found on the side of the road going, I quit. You know what happened to a lot of them? A lot of them thought they were ready, but they weren't. A lot of them thought they had trained, but they weren't. A lot of them thought, well, I'll just go ahead, I'll run around the block two or three times and go run this marathon. Don't work that way. You see, we've got to endure in striving against sin. You see, God knew that we were going to fall from time to time. Proverbs 24, verse 16, it says, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. God didn't say you weren't going to fall. He knew you were going to fall. But he says, don't fall. Or when you fall, don't quit. Get up. You ever watched a boxing match? Guys are in there boxing. You know, the trainer's over there. Good, right, left, right, up. The guy's in there getting his head beat in. Ears are all swollen, cauliflowered ears. The guy gives him a haymaker, knocks him out, knocks him down, and he's on the ground, face down, looking over at his corner, and here's what the trainer's saying. Get up! Get up! Man, that guy just got knocked cuckoo. He's got a concussion, and the guy's yelling, get up! You can do it! Can I say to you tonight, that we have a Lord in heaven. We're going to get knocked down, but you know what he's saying? Get up. You can do this. Get up. Don't stay down. Listen, we've got to fight temptation. We've got to fight against the snares and the wiles and the deceptions of the devil. Failure only comes when you quit. You see, just because you fail doesn't mean that you're a failure. Failure only comes when you quit. Well, let me wrap this up. Go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. You say, will it be worth it all? I don't know. You tell me. Read this. Remember the Apostle Paul? He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. He didn't stop right there. Verse 8, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Oh, and not to me only, but unto all them. You know who that is? That's us. He says, unto all them also that love his appearing. You see, church, endurance is developed over a long period of time. It's developed through training. It's developed through consistency. You see, the thing about it is, you wouldn't expect a marathon runner to finish the race if all he did was train on cheesecake and Dr. Pepper, would you? If he was just scarfing down cheesecake and Dr. Pepper, would you expect that guy to finish? Now, I wouldn't expect that guy to make it a mile before he barfed everything he ate up, right? You see, endurance is repetition. Endurance is knowledge. But listen, endurance is testing. You see, before I promise you, ask Brother Riley, ask Brother Scott Miller. Before they ran a marathon, now help me out, Ben, I may be wrong, but I don't think that I'm wrong here. I promise you, they ran shorter races before they ran a marathon. They ran a 5K or a 10K or something like that before they tried to chomp off 24 miles. They ran something shorter. Why? Building their endurance. You see, church, America, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, Arlington, Texas, needs Trinity Baptist Church. But can I say this tonight? Trinity Baptist Church is only as strong as the weakest Christian in that church. We're only as strong as the weakest Christian in the church. Just like a chain is only as strong as the weakest link in that chain. And can I say to you tonight, we're going to have to learn some endurance. We're going to have to thicken our skin. Because the days ahead, you say, oh, preacher, it's dark on the horizon. What if? What if? I can't live in what ifs, folks. I have to live on what I know. You know what? Regardless of who gets elected president, governor, senator, House of Representatives, I can't control that. All I can do is go vote. I can go voice my opinion, vote for who I think ought to be in there, but ultimately, you know what? I don't have control over the whole thing. But one thing I do have control over is endurance. That's my training. You see, we're going to have to endure in service. We're going to have to endure in soul winning. We're going to have to endure in our battle with those sins that so easily beset us. Now, I preached all this to say this tonight, church. This week, as I begin to think, 25 years I'm entering into ministry, 28 years of salvation. A lot of mileage. And it'd be easy to say, you know what, the tread's wearing thin. I think I'm just going to pull this puppy over, pull it over on the side, go ahead and take the keys and cut the ignition off and just let her ride. But then, if you do that, you'll be the most miserable Christian in the world. You know what? I think God would rather you ride around and serve on bald tires and tread showing than to pull over to the side, cut the engine off, and quit. Yeah, some of us, tread's a little thin, a lot of mileage. But you know what? God can still use you. God can still take you. We just need to endure. We need to be where we're supposed to be. Can I say, choir members, we need you in choir. Can I say teachers? We need you at teachers meeting. Can I say soul winners? We need you out soul winning. We've got to endure. If not, God will never send revival if we don't endure. Would you bow your heads tonight? Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many can say, preacher, I'm saved? No question about it. Slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. I'm a Christian, born again. No question about it. If the rapture took place tonight, I'm going to heaven, preacher. All right? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, I just simply